Today on The Word of Truth Revealed.
Many of us made up, messed up real bad, but God has been working with us. He sent an angel to help us. He sent an angel to take care of us. He sent an angel to work with us. He sent an angel to do stuff that we couldn't do. Hallelujah. And he delivered us from all harm.
Celebrating 32 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of the International Ministries of Truth Revealed, a Spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida. Today, Bishop Clark continues the message where he began by asking the question, what do people need to reach their full potential and thrive? Let's turn to Genesis, the 48th chapter, verses 15 through 18, as Bishop Clark concludes the message, he earmarked enough for every need.
When Joseph was looking for his brother, a man showed up and said, your brothers are not here, but they've gone there. He's given direction. We believe these are manifestations of the angel, capitalized, of the Lord, who delivered them from all harm. Look at the word. Many of us think we are here today because we got ourselves out. But I'm here to tell you something. You're not here because you got yourself out. You're here because God got you out. Many of us made up, messed up real bad, but God has been working with us. He sent an angel to help us. He sent an angel to take care of us. He sent an angel to work with us. He sent an angel to do stuff that we couldn't do. Hallelujah. And he delivered us from all harm. He said, may that same angel bless the boys. Notice when we come down to blessing children, it's not just our blessing, but we have history that we draw from. God, I made some mistakes. My grandfather made mistakes. My father made some mistakes, but I don't want these mistakes to come out in your life. I need you, the one that helped me to get back. I need him to help you. Glory to God. I feel my help coming on. And the angel who has delivered me, from all harm, may be blessed. May he bless these boys. Look at the word. May they be called by my name. May they be called by my name. Here you see adoption. Ephraim and Manasseh had no heritage. They were born in Egypt, or born in the world. And Joseph knew that if they're going to be a part of the line that was blessed, he had to take them back to his father. Though he was the governor of Egypt, glory to God, and had all of the prestige in the world, he knew that he needed his father's blessing if he's going to move forward. So he brought the boys back, and notice what Jacob is saying, may they be called by my name. In other words, I'm passing my pedigree to them. I'm passing my inheritance to them. I'm passing my knowledge to them. I'm passing the glory to them. I'm passing, hallelujah, the anointing that's on my life. I'm passing it to them. Look at the word. And the names of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and may they increase greatly upon the world. How many of us want to see our children grow? Glory to God. Well, there's a blessing from the angel, verse 16 of the Lord, who delivers us out of all harm. If you know him, you can receive and transfer the blessing to your seed. Glory to God. Look at verse 17. Then Joseph saw his father placing his right hand on Ephraim's head, and he was displeased. So he took hold of his father's hand to move it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. Look at verse 18. Joseph said to him, no, my father, this one is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head. And sometimes we interfere with what God is trying to do. We think we're smart parents. Notice Joseph is the parent of these two boys, but he has no clue of the blessing of the Lord. And sometimes as parents, we can stand in the way of God blessing our children. Hallelujah. God knows more about your house than you know. And God knows more about your family than you know. You got to push them in the presence of God. You got to get them in the presence of God and then trust God to work with the stuff. When you get them in the presence of God, sometimes there's a crossover. Joseph understood protocol, but he didn't understand crossover. He didn't understand. He didn't understand the sovereignty of God. That God chooses one and will lift up one. And he brings down one and he'll lift up another. Glory to God. Sometimes we want to fix it, but God is not concerned about what you want. He's concerned about his will. Ooh, Jesus. Glory to God. I don't know who I'm preaching to today, but I'm here to tell you, glory to God, that God sometimes will lay his hands on a right hand on an Ephraim, glory to God, and his left hand on a Manasseh. But notice, both of them are going to be blessed. Both of them are going to be blessed. Don't interfere with God when he's dealing with your children. Don't interfere with God when he's dealing with your children. If you let God do it, it'll save a life. Ooh, Jesus. When you step in the midst of it and you don't let God do it, you could be killing them before time. You got to let God work with them. He loves them. Oh, Jesus. Ah. Ooh, he loves him. You see the heart of the father when Jacob is speaking to the boy. He never saw him before. They were born in the wilderness. I'm sorry, born in Egypt. They had paint on their faces. They had different garb on. It wasn't the Canaanite dress. It's just like new people coming into the church today. They may not be dressed like we dress. They're not going to look like we look. They all tattooed up. But don't mess with them, glory to God. God may want to bless them anyway. God may want to cross over and pull them out of hell and high water. You don't know what they went through when they were out there. You don't know what they saw while they were kids. Let them get into the house of the Lord so God can bless them. Here you see religion trying to stop God's move. Religion. No, it's got the firstborn's got to have the right hand. For these, it's different. They weren't born in church. They weren't born in church. They were born in a place that believed in snakes. They believed that all things had gods. They believed that cows were God and crocodiles were God. They saw the Sphinx and they saw the pyramids. They even saw them being built. They understood technology, but they didn't know God. They were real smart, but they didn't know God. They looked good, had themselves painted up, but they didn't know God. They had a problem with their sexuality, but they didn't know God. Hallelujah. But God was trying to bring them into a place, hallelujah, to change their destiny. And sometimes we can get in the way of what God is trying to do in our families. Ooh, Jesus. If you look at the heart of Jacob, they will be called by my name now. That's identity. He's meeting a need in the lives of these boys who had no true identity. Joseph couldn't raise him the way he wanted because he was carried by Pharaoh into a top position. Even when the boys were born, he had to come out of governing the nation to go home to view them. He was busy taking care of the world's needs. The boys had no identity. They had no psychological connection. Hallelujah. And God is trying to correct that by bringing them into the form or into the place or the proximity, into the presence of a father. So the boys would have identity. You read on, Jacob let, I don't have time to go there, but Jacob let Joseph know, you may be the governor of Egypt, but I'm the father and I'm the prophet. And when I say something, you need to back up and stop trying to use your authority up in here. God has given me the knowledge. He's blessed me in the land of my affliction. And I, when I prophesy over these boys, it's going to come to pass. And you'll never see a tribe of Joseph. You'll never see a tribe of Joseph, but even today, there's a tribe of Ephraim and Manasseh. You'll never see Joseph having a lineage. Hallelujah. God knew what he was doing. Joseph was a type of Christ that would come on the scene to redeem the people and then go off the scene. And those two boys began to feel the gap of Israel. Glory to God. And Ephraim is there now, and Manasseh is there now because Jacob blessed the boys. And if you want longevity in your life, you got to let God be God. Ah, Jesus. Woo, Jesus. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. I read to you out of the book of Genesis, talking about Joseph and his son, his sons, but also his grandfather. Please don't interfere with God when he's dealing with your family. Let him do it. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers have known. In other words, God did stuff for you that your daddy and your mama didn't even dream of. I don't know why you're arrogant. God did more in you, for you in your life, than your father ever saw. They had no knowledge of it. Fathers had not known to teach you that man does not live by bread alone. In other words, God says, the reason why I pluck you out of the pedigree, the reason why I save you, the reason why you're not like them is because I'm trying to teach you one lesson. That man should not live by food and stuff and bread alone or basic needs alone. But he need to live by the word of God. He's not to live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Now, maybe you didn't understand it until now. But God wants you to understand that the reason why you prosper is not so you can sit on the throne. It's for you to say, God, you brought me so far. All the stuff that my father and grandfather did, I was even going in the same route, down the same road. And you bless me. You bless me real good. But you're not supposed to sit on the throne. You just got to transfer it back. There has to be a reciprocal relationship. God, you did this for me. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk to you now. You did it so I wouldn't say I live by bread alone. You met my physical needs. But I need to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That means you need to be reading the Bible. You need to have word in you. You need to be able to rehearse some things. Look at verse 4. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during 40 years. In other words, I kept you from most sicknesses. You didn't experience desperate. Why not you? Is it just because you did everything right? No, I did it so you would say I can't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And if anybody in this room is semi-successful, your success is not to cause you to sit back in complacency. You're supposed to turn it back to God. God, give me a word for my future, a word for my family. So we see here needs have been met, basic needs met, not so you can say, okay, I can spend my money the way I want, but what can I do for God? Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 15. Look at the patriot Nehemiah, who serves the king with a cup. This is how his ministry began. Not with college or a college degree. His ministry began by taking a cup and serving a heathen king. Minuscule. Entry level employment. I got all of this knowledge and I'm stuck walking around with a cup and I got to hold this cup until you want something. But his future is tied to the way he serves it. Some of us, when we have to do stuff like that, serve, we want to rule, but we don't understand your rulership is tied to the way you serve. You got to start seeing that there's value in the cup. You don't waste it. You don't waste it. It ain't my drink. Wasting it everywhere, a trail of juice on the floor because you don't know how to handle it. Even if you're frustrated, even if a dog is biting your leg and somebody say something to you funny and your wife hurts your feelings, you got to hold that cup, man. You got to hold that cup. You got to hold it. And don't waste a drop. and serve it to the king properly. And when you serve it properly, favor will come to you. Not only you, but your family and your people. What we do is say, because it's hidden, nobody see me serve, I don't have to serve well. Look at him now in verse 9, chapter 9, verse 15. In their hunger, he's rehearsing to the nation what God did for the nation years ago. In their hunger, you gave them bread for from heaven. And in their thirst, you brought them water from the rock. You told them to go in and take possession of the land you have sown with uplifted hands to give them. Now notice, Nehemiah is telling them, not only did he give you food and he gave you water, but your water came from a rock. Let me just prophesy to you. Some of you about to get some funds from unexpected places. Some of you are about to get a flow. It's unnatural. It's not even supposed to come from it. It's not even supposed to come, but God is about to release water from a rock. Glory to God. People will look at that rock and say, there's nothing but a rock. I can stand on it. I can build something on it. But God said, I'm going to let flow come from it. That which will water you for your next season. And you mean to tell me you're not going to give him glory? You're not going to give him praise? Watch what I tell you. Something is coming down the pike, glory to God. Water is coming from rocks, and you didn't pay for it. But God's going to give you favor. Ooh, Jesus. Paul turned around in the book of Corinthians and said the rock that the water came out was Christ manifested in the wilderness. Woo, Jesus. And what you need to see, anytime God bless you with funds that you didn't earn, you got to start saying, Jesus gave me that. Anytime God bless you with stuff that you didn't know how you were going to get it, you got to start saying, Jesus bless me with that. That flow coming out of this unexpected place, I know the government's check says this, but Jesus bless me with that. Come on, offer up a praise to the Lord for his goodness. Our last passage, Psalm 41. He will supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. He's earmarked it. He's got enough in reserve to take care of your stuff. Psalm 41, verse 1. Blessed is he who has regard for the weak. The Lord delivers him in times of trouble. In other words, when you have regard for those who are less fortunate, that's just a heart issue. You haven't done anything yet. But if you just regard them, you don't shun them, you don't walk away and act like they're nothing. The Bible says the Lord delivers him in times of trouble. You can expect deliverance to come. And I don't know if you know it or not, but all of us need to be delivered. It took 1,000 angels working on your behalf to move stuff out of the way, to make sure there was no accidents from last night to this morning so you could be in church on time. If we saw what the devil was planning to do to all of us, if you could see his plans, his strategies, how he's sitting there thinking about how he's going to strip you of everything you have, yet God said, no, hallelujah, that's my daughter, that's my son, and I'm not going to let you do anything to them. I want them to grow. I want them to get my word. I want them to live another day, another week, another month, another year, another 10 years, another decade, another century. I'm not going to let you take them out now. I curse death in the name of Jesus. If you only knew what God had to move out of the way, you'll give him glory. Jesus. If you saw as many caskets as I've seen, you would know if we're sitting here today, we have to give him glory. We have to give him praise. We have to say thank you, Lord. It could have been me, Lord, but I thank you. Hey, Jesus. Let me curse COVID in the name of the Lord. I come against the spirit of COVID. I come against the virus in Jesus' name. I rebuke you off of the people of God. You will have no hold on God's people. You will not take one out in the name of Jesus. We block you with the blood of Jesus. We put the blood over the doorposts. We believe that the blood, if you see the blood, he'll pass over. And we declare that the blood is greater than you. You can't take out our children. You can't take out our teachers. You can't stop us from having church. You won't stop us, glory to God, from working with our families. The blood of Jesus is against you now. Come on, help me rebuke the devil. I come against the spirit of fear. Woo. I said I come against the spirit of fear. Glory to God. That's a need that God is meeting. A need that he's meeting. Fear will not dictate how we flow. Glory to God. Blessed is he who has regards for the weak. And the Lord delivers him in times of trouble. I like verse 2. The Lord will protect him. We got a need to be protected and preserve his life. And preserve his life. I decree long life and prosperity. He will bless him in the land of the living, and not surrender him to the desires of his foes. Glory to God. If you don't know it or not, there are people who don't like your prosperity and they don't want you to prosper. They want to hear a bad report about you. But notice what the Lord says. He will bless him or her in the land that they're living in. Not when you're dead, when you're alive. And not surrender you to the desires of your enemies. When we don't have the right heart, sometimes God will allow us to be surrendered to the desires of the people who don't like you. But when your heart is right before the Lord, he will protect you from their desire. And their desire is for you to fall. They're waiting to hear that you couldn't make it. You couldn't make it without me. And I rebuke that in the name of the Lord Jesus. By the authority of the Holy Spirit that's rising up in me, I cancel the contract that's on your life, that's on your head. God says you will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. I like verse 3. The Lord will sustain him on his sick bed. In other words, if you get sick, I'm not going to let you die. I'm preaching to somebody who just got a disease report. COVID just showed up. But God said he's not going to allow you to die. Be afraid, man. Get in the house. The Lord will sustain him on his sick bed. You don't need to be afraid, man. Get in the house of God. Because God will sustain you. Stand up in your faith. Look at the word. And restore him from his bed of illness. Somebody better catch that and proclaim it over your loved ones who are catching COVID. The Lord will sustain him on his sick bed and restore him from the bed, his bed of illness. Every one of us has a bed of illness specific to us. What only made you sneeze may kill me. What made you cough may be devastating to me because I have my own bed of illness. But God says your particular bed of illness, he won't allow the illness to take you out. Hallelujah.
October is Pastors Appreciation Month all across the country, and if the teaching of Bishop Merton L. Clark has been a blessing to you, we invite you to join us, Trim Nation, in thanking and appreciating Bishop Clark for all of his hard work and preparation to bring us a quality, accurate, and anointed word every week. You can send him an encouraging email by going to our website, truthrevealed.org or by sending him a monetary gift by going to the Truth Revealed website, and when you give, indicate it's for the pastor's appreciation. Whether you send him an email or bless him monetarily, any and all acts of kindness will certainly be appreciated. We thank you in advance for joining us during Pastor's Appreciation Month in blessing the founder and bishop of the International Ministries of Truth Revealed and our modern day prophet, Bishop Merton L. Clark. Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's teaching, we would love to hear from you. You can write to us at The Word of Truth Revealed, P.O. Box 60128, Palm Bay, Florida 32906, or you can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For your physical copy of today's message, He earmarked enough for every need. When you write or email us, use reference number 2108-2208. That's reference number 2108-2208. Or log on to our website and download the MP3. Help us unveil truth to the nations by becoming a partner with the International Ministries of Truth Revealed. We would like to thank you in advance for your consideration and for generously supporting this ministry. Connect with us, Trim Nation, by downloading the Truth Revealed Church app today. For Android users, go to the Play Store, and
Jesus?
For Apple users, go to the App Store.
That's
follow Trim Nation on social media by logging into Facebook,
that part
Twitter,
of life's purpose,
Instagram,
and the lasting
or visit us on the web at truthrevealed.org.
And
now, a final thought from Bishop Clark.
Much to do with knowing Jesus. In our premortal life, we were in His mind, in His heart. We were in His presence. And in the presence of God the Father, we're protected, never disconnected. Let's get back to the Father through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Choose Christ today. My friends, if you're unsaved and you would like to know Jesus, pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I love you. I repent of my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I confess the Lord Jesus as Lord and Savior of my life. I believe that you died on the cross for me, that you were buried for me, but you love me enough to be raised from the dead for my justification. Come into my heart, and I will live for you forever. Fill me with your Spirit and empower me to do great things in your kingdom. Hallelujah. My friend, if you prayed that prayer with me, you're now part of a large family. I need you to connect with us, so send me an email at this address, connect@truthrevealed.org. That is connect@truthrevealed.org. And until next time, may God bless and keep you, is my prayer.
You're listening to WWBC, 1510 AM, W234BI, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, 100.7 FM.